A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Samach Aleph, Baba Metzia 61b, pagination is 122. About a quarter of the way down, in the middle of the line, we begin, Omar Rava, Rava said. The name of the perek is Ezehu Neshech. What is an example of something that cuts in to someone else's finances? And this is referring to the pasuk which describes the prohibition of ribis, which is taking interest from another Jew, as a neshach, a thing that cuts in, bites in, to his finances. We encountered the word neshach in Baba Kama, the word neshicha, where an animal bites and does damage. In this case, it's a financial bite that's being taken. It's worth mentioning that the concept of ribis is a very unique agreement or requirement of the Torah, because really, agar natar, paying wages for the fact that my money is idle from my use, and instead it's been entrusted for your use, makes sense to have a rental component to the money. If I rent you my car, I could charge. There's such a concept. If I rent you tools, a hammer, I could charge. Home Depot doesn't rent hammers, but we have such a concept. Tools can be rented. So when a person gives money, it's not far-fetched to say that he would be allowed to rent the money. And indeed, the banking business is based on interest. Who's entrusting their money to whom, and what the rate ought to be. The concept of this prohibition, that a Jew lending money to another Jew is not allowed to charge interest, is described as Bris Achim, a covenant of brotherhood, where it's an interest-free loan that's tendered to the other person. There is a way of sidestepping the laws of ribis and this prohibition. It's called Heter Iska, where if a person entrusts the money to the other person for purposes of investment, he could write up the terms that he's a partner in the investment. The downside, of course, is that if the investment sours, he's a partner in the fact that the money went down, got lost, and he's not going to get paid back the full value. But if the investment does well, he would get a share in the profits. And indeed, this concept of heter iska is something that we employ when someone wants money for an endeavor, and we could structure it in a way that it's an investment. But back to our basic case, borrowing money or lending money with a non-Jew, according to Torah law, is the banking system, and it's permitted. Lending money to a Jew is prohibited with interest, and that's our topic in this perek. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lama li dekas av Rachmana yetzias Mitzrayim beribis? Why is it that the Torah said Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, by this mitzvah of ribis, not taking interest in a loan given to a Jew? Also, we're going to squeeze it in, Yetzias Mitzrayim gabei tzitzis. It says Yetzias Mitzrayim as well by tzitzis. I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, who give you this mitzvah. Yetzias Mitzrayim b'mishkolos. And it says Yetzias Mitzrayim by weights and measures, that they should be accurate. And Rava explains, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ani hu shevchanti b'mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor l'tipa she'ena shel bechor. I am the one who was able to differentiate between a child that was from the Mitzrayim and was meant to be killed in Makas Bechoros, and a child that's from the Jews that we allowed to live. I was able to tell the difference, even though at face value a person wouldn't be able to tell in a child what his yichus, what his lineage is, but I could tell. Ani she'asid lifora, I'm going to take retribution, because I can tell the difference from a person who makes believe that the money belongs to a non-Jew and lends it to Jews with ribis, which is prohibited. And I can tell that that's what he's doing. We'll come back to this in a moment. Or a person who makes his weights and measures inaccurate, or a person who in the laws of tzitzis puts a dyed thread, but it wasn't of techeles, of the special dye, which is more expensive. Va'omer techeles, so he says it's techeles, but it's really not. Hashem says, I can tell the difference between these things that look to the regular human to be the same. I can tell the difference. Now, our topic is ribis, so let's focus on ribis. Tosfos points out that a person borrows money from a non-Jew and then lends it to a Jew, that's ribis. What does it mean? Tola ma'osa benachri. He makes believe that the money belongs to a non-Jew, which would make it permitted, but really it's his own money. So Hashem says, I can tell whose money it is. Fine, but if you borrow money from a non-Jew and then lend it to a Jew, that's prohibited as ribis. His argument to make it permitted is also not permitted. What's this man's argument that Hashem says, but I can see that your argument doesn't apply here because really it's your own money? So Tosfos says, it's the third line, Lefi ma shenavi raya lekamon, later on we'll find out that Yisrael sheyesh biyada ma'us nochri vein ba'achrayas ha-nochri. If the money truly belongs to the non-Jew, then the Jew is acting as his agent. And the question would be, if the money disappeared or something, whose responsibility is it? Did the Jew borrow the money from the non-Jew and he has to pay it back? So then it's the Jew's money. It's a loan with a value, an abstract value that's owed to the non-Jew, but the money itself belongs to the Jew. But if the Jew is literally being a banker, a teller for the non-Jew, then indeed it would be permitted because it's the non-Jew that's doing the loan. If we were writing up a contract, it would be with the non-Jew's name, and therefore it's permitted, and that's the case that the Gemara is describing, that the Jew argues it's non-Jewish money, but really, it's his own money, and Hashem says, I can tell the difference. This has very significant ramification in practical halacha. Sometimes a person will allow a Jew to use his credit card, and the Jew who makes the purchase, who's borrowing the credit card, may run up a bill on the credit card that ends up with finance charges. That becomes a problem in this transaction because the Jew who borrowed the credit card has no relationship with the non-Jewish credit card company. If his responsibility would be to pay those finance charges, then he's reimbursing the Jew for the finance charges that the Jewish owner of the credit card has to pay the credit card company. And this is this exact example where a Jew borrows money from the credit card company and then wants to pass on the interest charges in a new transaction, Jew to Jew, to the Jew who made the purchase, who's borrowing that money. And that you're not allowed to do. If the Jew borrowing the credit card would somehow have a relationship with the non-Jewish credit card company, so fine, you could borrow money with interest from a non-Jewish company. But here it's going through the Jew, the fancy words, I'm just reimbursing you for the interest that you have to pay the credit card company, doesn't work. And even an agreement to do that, if I don't pay you the money on time, even that agreement would be prohibited. So that's something to watch out for in regular credit card commerce. Let's continue briefly with a statement from Ravina. Ravina asked, Ravina was asked, Yitzias Mitzrayim dekosav rachmona gabe shrotzim lomali. Why does it say Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, by the types of shrotzim, little live creatures that we're not allowed to eat? Why does it say Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the initial reaction was similar to what we've been saying. Ani yosid lifora, Hashem says, I can tell the difference. And if someone would mix non-kosher pieces together with kosher pieces and sell them, I would be able to tell the difference. The description, kirve dogim, the inside of fish, because if a fish has its outside, you could tell right away if it has the scales. But the insides of the fish look the same. Person would mix them up. Hashem says, I will take retribution from the person because I could tell the difference. They continued and they said, their question wasn't about the Exodus. The question was on the word Hama'ale, who uplifts you from Mitzrayim. Why is it, there are a bunch of places that say Yitzias Mitzrayim, but why over here does it say Hama'ale, who uplifts you? And the answer to that is that a person were to eat non-kosher, it is ma'is, it brings them down. And internalizing the chet is so significant that when Hashem prohibited eating the non-kosher, it's considered ma'ale, it's considered ilui, an elevation, that we don't do that. And that's hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem lifts us up. And then it says Yitzias Mitzrayim, similar to the other cases. They look the same, but Hashem can tell. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.